I spoke to, yes, join me upstage. Raymond, yes. So I want to confuse you a bit. So just let's read it quickly. Let's read it together. One, two, three, go. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Meaning they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimonies. Amen. So I want to confuse you a bit, and I'm going to have Sergey, I'm going to have my Stefan and Raymond read it in their languages. So Sergey is going to read it in Ukraine, and Stefan is going to read it in German, and Raymond is going to read it in Tagalog.
Ukrainian. І вони його перемогли кров'ю Анця та словом свого засвідчення і не полюбили життя свого навіть до смерті. I will also read Russian because I'm both. Вони побіділи його кров'ю Анця і словом свідчення свого і не возлюбили душі своєї даже до смерті.
Okay. Deutsch, German. Sie haben ihn besiegt durch das Blut des Lammes und weil sie sich zu dem Lamm bekannt haben. Für dieses Bekenntnis haben sie ihr Leben eingesetzt. Und den Tod nicht gefürchtet.
Wikang Tagalog, Filipino. At siya'y kanilang dinaig dahil sa dugo ng kordero at dahil sa salita ng kanilang patutoo at hindi nila inibig ang kanilang buhay hanggang sa kamatayan.
Amazing. You may take your seats. So, first, on the line of testimonies, we are going to invite Brother Robert. Brother Robert, please a round of applause even as Brother Robert joins me. So like I said, the testimonies are points of encouragement, and I really believe that if you put your ears to the ground and listen carefully, you would definitely be blessed. They may not holistically say everything about your life, but I'm sure there is one thing that would bless you. So, Robert, you're welcome. Introduce yourself.
So my name is, Robert. I'm from America. And with that, I was born in the state of Michigan, up by Canada. And I was very blessed when I was young to have a very supportive family, especially my maternal grandparents and my maternal grandparents and my mother. They both had a lot of faith, and they were very strong in their faith. And they really led me to Christ a lot when I was very young, probably in second grade. Also, to kind of jump ahead to what my testimony is about is, I was also very interested in science. Why do I still have a face mask on? I don't know. Take that thing off. Okay. yeah, something's wrong here. Okay, so, yeah, I was very interested in science. And with that, my mom was a biologist. My dad was an engineer. I studied chemistry in college. And so that was always something that was in my life as well.
Amazing. So from what Robert has shared already, he loves science. Very opposite to me. I love food, he loves science. So I think it's
food is science. I like to, yeah.
Amen. So I think it's in the line of what he's going to share, he is going to share speaking of how faith and science are actually complementary and not contradictory. Complementary and not contradictory. So literally, in the sense of the line of faith, what is your favorite Bible verse?
Okay, so with science, putting these things together, I really like Nehemiah 9:6. Nehemiah is blessing the new temple. And he says, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." So it's very clear that God made everything. He made the heavens, the earth, the seas, everything. And God preserves it actively. He's not some watchmaker. You might have heard the analogy where God just made something and then he lets it go. No. God actively is preserving us all right now, or we would all fall apart instantaneously.
Wow, wow. So in the light of your faith and signs, can you share certain instances or an instance where you actually could find a connection? Because how many of you also had that thought that people who are advanced in science did not necessarily believe in the Bible? How many of you had that thought? I only see one person. Am I the only one? Okay, so
no, you're not the only one.
So where did you draw the line? Where did you draw the connection?
Okay, so there, because yeah, you're right. The struggle is real. I've seen that so many times, people struggling between their science and their faith. And so I think God was very fortunate and blessed me, praise be God, that he showed me certain things. It showed me, even very early in my life, how faith and science could go together. So the first thing I always remember is when I talked about my maternal grandparents, they gave me this book. It was Creation Science, putting it together with the science behind like seven-day creationism. Seven-day creationism is where, you know, 24-hour day. All the days in Genesis 1 refer to a 24-hour day that we know of today. And my grandparents believed that, and I believe that. I remember I was in third grade, and this teacher, he wanted me to draw pictures about the Big Bang. And so I hated it. And I thought he said he was a Christian. And I couldn't believe this. I'm like, I was so mad. I wouldn't even barely do it. And the teacher came around, looked at my work, and he's like, this is so easy. Why won't you do it? And I was so upset. I'm like, how could you be a Christian and ask me to do this about the Big Bang? The Big Bang is the scientific thing at the beginning of the world, the universe, what happened, like that. And so they gave me this book, and I thought, oh, this is great. And I was reading it. It was for kids, but it was really well done. I still remember it. And so I took it, and I was so excited. My mom picked me up that night. We went out to eat, and I was so happy. I had to tell her all about this. And at that moment, my mom let me talk for a while, and then she looked across and said, I don't believe that. And my mom's a woman of faith. I knew that. I was so shocked. I can still remember exactly where I was at that moment, like the restaurant, the seat, the sky. I can remember everything because I was so shocked about that. And she went on to explain her belief about Genesis 1, which was not that it was created in 24-hour days, but it was longer days, which, if some of you have heard, is called day age. I didn't know that at the time. Later, my mom also shared with me that she actually went away from the faith for 15 years, and I knew that, but she never told me why. And she said, well, it was because when I was a biologist, I couldn't wrap my mind around how science and faith could come together. And so when she was in college, specifically she told about one time she went to a sermon and the pastor was just completely bashing geology. Geology is like the formation of rocks and things like that. And she just said, I couldn't do it anymore. And she walked away from her faith until I was born with that. But from that experience, I became very open to different ideas about Genesis 1 and 2. And I definitely was still a seven-day creationist. It's not like my mom changed my mind. But it became very open as long as you can prove it from the Bible. And that's the key thing. We're not trying to say we're going to something other than the Bible here. But it has to be from the Bible. But if you can show your beliefs about Genesis 1 and 2 from the Bible, that's okay. And I think even growing up, I was interested in science, but there was never this tension between science and faith that exists in my mind. Because in my mind, it was always, you know, that God made science. He created everything. He made the scientific method. Like, he made the scientific method. That's why we can learn things about the creation. So if he made the scientific method work, then how could that be against the Bible? So that was, growing up, that was always, I mean, I can remember that so easily now. I mean, that is kind of my testimony for my mom. But also then I think in college, just one other time, I went to the Christian college, and it was, I hesitate to say the word weird, because weird sounds bad, but it wasn't weird in a bad way. It was weird in a good way, that I think every different, almost plausible Christian belief from the Bible about Genesis 1 and 2 were in that school. Professors taught it, and we're okay with it. And mostly, they got along with each other very well. Everyone was okay with saying their own belief. And that kind of really reinforced kind of how I already felt about being open to new ideas. I think the difference in college, though, as well, is I really learned the theology. It's not just, okay, you can believe different things, but why do different people believe different things about this? And again, I'm not talking about from science, but I'm talking about really from the Bible. You know, and the thing that unites every view about Genesis 1 and 2 is what I read earlier from Nehemiah 9:6. You know, God created everything without doubt. It says that so many times in the Bible. God is the creator of everything. Him alone created things. He preserves everything. He is intimately involved in the creation at this moment.
I like that.
And also, it wasn't Nehemiah 9:6, but it says in the Bible that the Bible is without error.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3:16, you know, God, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for instruction. Those are the things that unite us all as Christians, whatever you might believe about that.
Let me step in a bit here. I think clearly we see certain points from, can the ushers please, can we have an usher please? I think we see clearly from what he has shared some key points. The first key point in there is how his foundation from childhood has really been a blessing to him. His foundation of the word from childhood has been a blessing to him. And the fact that everything he explains and is exposed to is literally in line with the Bible. The foundation of it is in the Bible. So even in his welcoming of new ideas, new thoughts, new patterns of thinking, the Bible is the benchmark. And I think that is a very important thing. In the light of the Big Bang, those who may not know the Big Bang is, if I could put a simple way of explaining, is that creation came out of a huge explosion and everything came into formation during time. Hope it's not so bad, right? It's good.
No, that's great. Basically, that's physics anyway. I'm a chemist. So.
So basically that. And this was literally antithetical to the seven-day creation thingy. So the idea and the struggle began for him in the light of seeing people who believed they were Christians, but yet did not believe in the seven-day creation of things in that light. And believe you me, in the light of our progression in life, the people we'll meet, we are certainly going to meet people like that. And like he rightfully said, the basis to being resolute is by the word of God. So let me get back to you. How has Jesus changed your life?
So how has Jesus changed my life through this? I think, you know, when I look at this, if I didn't go through this, I'm not afraid of what would happen because that wouldn't have happened. Because God saved me and he knew the purpose for my life and that he would show me these things. But I look at, you know, that struggle, that real, I see that with so many people and I can say, okay, that would be me. But I'm so thankful for the theology I know. Because, you know, the first pastor I had out of college, he said to everyone actually often, that we don't learn theology for the good times. We learn theology for the bad times. Theology is what grounds us.
Wait. Can you please, let's take that again.
We don't learn theology for the good times. When we're having a good time, we just read the Bible, pray, everything's great. But when we hit bad times, we need something to fall back on to say that our faith is real and that we can really hold on to it. And so my first pastor out of college always said that. We don't learn theology for the good times. We learn theology for the bad times. That's what roots us in our faith. And so after college, definitely there are people that will attack you. You know, when you're in the science community, they will attack you for your faith.
And have you been attacked?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And well-meaning, I say, it's well-meaning scientists. They're not trying to be mean, really. Then there's well-meaning Christians. You know, if you don't believe what they believe, which is impossible to not get attacked because different Christians believe different things, they will attack you. And it can honestly be depressing. It can be difficult to get yelled at and things like that. And it can be, I'll even say, like a crisis. But it goes back to that theology that, yes, it's difficult to deal with that, but also you know you know God. God has taught you about himself.
Amen.
Or at least different permissible ideas about himself.
Amen.
Maybe not exactly what he is, but he has taught you different things that are in line with the scripture.
I just want to say the essence of theology is not masters in divinity or masters in hidden scrolls. The essence of what he's saying about theology is theos logical, meaning learning about God, basically. Am I right, Rob? Forgive me. About learning about God. So basically, reading your Bible. And I want to emphatically state what he said again, that the essence of reading the Bible and studying the Word of God beyond the obligation of a daily living is so that you have something resolute to fall on in the bad times. I think, you know what we can do? I think we can, you know those pictures, they have the quotes and they have the name of the person underneath. I think I'm going to do one of those things and post it on my moments that this was what Robert, and I think it's very important. And in that light, he said, literally, the word, the study is what holds him together. I remember once I went to a conference and I met this friend of mine and he said, ah, you were a doctoral student in law. I said, yes. And he said, and you were a Christian. I said, yes. And he said, how is that possible? You believe in the fantasy. I think, Mike, you were there. He's a professor. He said, you believe in the fantasy and the stories of the... So the idea of attacks is real. And I want to say this off the table, that don't be afraid of the attacks. They will come. If the Bible literally says, if they persecuted Christ, then surely they will persecute you. If they hated Christ, surely they will hate you. So in the light of that understanding, we build a very key thing. Fall on everyday study of God's word. Amen. I want to move on in the light of XICF. XICF. How has XICF been a blessing to you? And in that light, knowing and understanding the seasons and times, what do you think we should pray about now?
Okay. Well, XICF definitely has been a blessing to me. I mean, this gets a little outside the whole science thing. But, you know, I used to live in a very small city in China. We just had small house churches. And to actually be able to come to a fellowship like this has really helped my faith. Sometimes in that other city, it was actually some very difficult times I had for a lot of different reasons. But to come to XICF, I remember the first time I was here, it just felt like this relief almost to me to worship God in China. And so I'm very thankful for that. But just to even go back to, you know, how has XICF blessed my life? I would never be in XICF if it wasn't for what I talked about before. You know, I think I wouldn't be in China if it wasn't for God's grace to me. I think, I truly believe that without my background, I would have followed like what my mother did for many, many years. I would have fallen away from faith without these things he showed me. So, you know, it's a whole culmination. Well, it's not a culmination. You know, you're always growing. The more you live, the more you know you are not like Christ. The more you need Christ.
Wait. Guys, do you realize the nuggets he's dropping? The more you continue living, walking with God, the more you realize you need more of him. I'm going to say that again so that maybe you didn't understand. The more you continue living and walking with God, the more you realize you need more of him. Let's take a few seconds and let that sink down. Wow. So how do you think we can pray, seeing the situation of the world, seeing the situation of the church? What do you think would be the best prayer to pray now, all of us together?
Yeah, I think it's definitely that we can pray for everyone who is struggling with either science and faith, or as you said, academia, you know, getting your PhD, you know, every subject. You know, academia can be so anti-Christian for really no good I will just say even that for no good philosophical reason. It's just because, well, this is how it is. There is no philosophy that they can hold to why that really makes sense, but they do it. Anyone who is struggling with these things, that's who I would really like to pray for today, because, you know, it's such a real struggle. It's so real. I understand it. I know it's so real. And also, just if anyone is struggling out there today and would like to talk to me more, please come up to me after, or I know I got a little son, I might have to leave pretty quick, but find me sometime. And we can add me on WeChat, and we can definitely get together and we can talk about, you know, how do these things go together, science and faith. It's not about finding, okay, this is the one interpretation you have to believe, but it's thinking, okay, how can it go together and so that your faith can be strengthened? Because I can say, maybe just last thing is, you know, my favorite thing is to go out into the creation and hiking. That's like my favorite hobby, because that's where I see God. I couldn't imagine God. I can't imagine, you know, a better way for myself to see God, because I see science, God, creation, everything together.
Wow, amazing, amazing. So let's bow down our heads, and just like he said, we're going to take time and pray for anyone struggling at this point with the essence of combining faith and science, anybody who is being attacked through academia or any sort of persecution in line of their faith. Let's bow down our heads and pray. And if you know anybody by name, pray for such a person. 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 Father, we thank you for this wonderful session with Brother Robert. We thank you for what he has shared with us and the nuggets he has released that we can pick and even run with. Just as he has mentioned, Father, we pray for all and sundry, every single person in the faith who is struggling at this very moment. We pray that, oh Lord, you would touch them. Father, let your grace be multiplied unto them. That after all, they would stand. After all they've done, Father, they would stand. We pray peace. And we also pray for members of this fellowship that, oh God, let us focus and read your word continuously. Let us build a habit of study, even as we trust and await your second coming. We thank you for our big brother, Robert. We thank you that he's a blessing to the fellowship. We thank you for his beautiful wife. We thank you for his amazing child. We pray that, oh Lord, you continuously bless them and keep them. Let your hand of mercy be upon them. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you.
Please, a round of applause. A round of applause. There's a song that is echoing in my head, even as Robert was sharing. Savior, he can move the mountains. Can you guys sing it? My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. No matter the situation, God is able to preserve, God is able to keep, and God is able to establish us. Amen. So we are going to move on to our second testimony. And Brother James, please a round of applause even as Brother James joins us. The first time I met Brother James was at a Bible study. And I like laughing so much. Those of you who have not realized yet, I like laughing a lot. And whilst I was sitting down laughing, I saw that he had this facial expression like, what kind of guy is this? But little did we know that we would become amazing friends. He would cook a lot of fish and I would go steal the fish. You know, it's amazing. And he has been a blessing to so many of us here. And we appreciate you for that. So shortly, introduce yourself. Who is Brother James?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to say I'm grateful to God for his grace and mercy upon me. And I'm really grateful to be here today. I'm James. I'm from Ghana. I was born in a small village in the Volta region. And I'm married with two kids. And I'm currently a PhD student in accounting in Shamwe University. And I'm also the lead usher in our church, SICF. Thank you.
Great, great. So in the light, you just mentioned that you were born in a small town in the Volta region. So the Volta region is a region in Ghana, and you was born in, what's the name of the town?
Mafik, Bavako.
Mafi Beveko. Can you try? Can you Rob, do you want to try to say that?
I'm sure you will not find it on the Google Map.
Mafi Beveko, that's the name of his hometown. And can you tell us about your background growing up? Can you tell us about life from your humble village even till now? Can you tell us about life in that retrospect?
Yeah, I think growing up as a child, life was not really that easy. And it was due to several factors beyond my control as a child. In terms of education, there was not really good support. So I remember I have to take responsibility for myself at a very tender age. And to be able to support myself in school, I have to work. And I remember at that very young age, I used to work on people's farm. Work for them for money.
When you mean work, you mean at that young age,
yeah.
You were weeding,
yeah,
you weeding. Were gathering, you were burning.
Yeah, yeah, weeding people's farm most times to get money to support myself in school. And I also remember I used to weave baskets. And normally these market women use this to buy things or to carry their goods to the market.
You used to weave the baskets?
Yeah, weave baskets, sell it in the market and get money. And one that when I remember all the time, I feel much sorrow, but God has always been good to me. I used to burn charcoal. And burning charcoal is one of the most difficult jobs that you will not want your child to do at a very early age. And most time you have to go to the bush or go to the forest, cut trees, have to cut them into pieces and pack them at one place, and it's really difficult. We don't have these chainsaw machines to do that. We use our hands.
So use the cutlass?
Yeah, use cutlass to do that. And I also remember to support myself, I have to tap palm wine.
You tap palm wine?
Yeah, tapping palm wine is what we distill alcohol to sell. So it's really hard, if not more difficult than burning charcoal. But I did all this to support myself in school. And I remember because of those works I did, those days when I look in my palms, they were really thick, very hard.
With blisters.
Yes. And I can barely fold them. The lines over here, you cannot see any of them. But God being so good today, I can see the lines back. So because of the things I did, I barely had opportunities to study for my basic education exams. I remember I have to wake up very early, around 5 a.m., go to farm, come back home around 7:30, prepare for school. And most times I was late for school. And when you are late for school, there's heavy punishment for you. So almost all the time I was punished for going to school late. So because of this, I didn't have the opportunity to study very hard when I was in school. I don't remember really studying. So 2 weeks to our basic education certificate exams, I remember I had the opportunity to separate myself from the family to study. So I studied for just about 2 weeks. And when we wrote the exams, I was really wondering what would be my results because I did not study. But when the results were out, I was one of the best students in my school. And when I think about it, I think it was not just ordinary. It could just be the grace of God that I was able to make that. It was not many people were able to pass very well, but I was one of the best few in the school. So it's just the grace of God that I was able to make that.
I remember you told me a story once when you went hunting and there was a hole and you were going to catch the prey. And you said there was a snake.
Yeah.
Can you share that story?
Yeah, I think it was just the grace of God that we escaped. We were about five people who went. We normally chase these small animals, and we sell them in the market to make money.
That's a grass cutter.
Yeah,
grass like a cutter. A huge rat, huge mouse.
The rats. I think the rats. Most times, I think we have people conflict them with a mouse.
Yes.
The mouse is what we have in the house.
The small ones.
The rat is very big with long tail. So we normally catch those ones and sell. And I remember we went to dig an ant hill. It normally lives in ant hill, so we went to dig the ant hill. In the process, we found a very big snake. And I was the one digging. So, I don't know, all of a sudden, something just told me to stop. Only to find that there was a very big snake. And most times, we normally put our hands into the holes to see if we are close. But that day, none of us did that. So it was just the grace of God that we were able to escape those being beaten by the snake.
I think that is a clear hand of the Lord preserving your life.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Have you seen several instances where you've seen that this is just the Lord? Have there been several times in your life where you've realized that this can only be the Lord keeping your life?
Yeah, several. Because of the things I did, it's just the grace of God that has saved me. I remember one time we went to swim. And I was not very good in swimming, so I don't know, I just found myself at a place. I was almost drowning. But how I came out, I don't know, I can't explain. And from that day, I told myself I'll never go and sweep in that river. Because I was almost gone. But God has saved me. There was one time I was crossing a road. We went to work on someone's farm when we were coming. I don't know what happened. I just saw all my friends running, crossing. Then I followed them. It was just, I missed the car just by an inch. When the driver stopped, he told me that if he had killed me, it would just be like a dog that he hit. And I escaped, just the grace of God. There are several of these, if I want to share.
And you once shared with me, the reason why I kind of have a lot of information about his lifestyle is we talk a lot. And I want to say this, that the essence of him sharing this is not for you to have pity on him, but the essence is to see that God is good. And in every situation, he can help you overcome the situation. I'm going to say that again. The essence of him sharing this is not so that you have pity. No. It's for you to see the goodness of God through every situation. And this might just be a snippet of his life. Maybe you might be going through worse. But just know this. God is good, and he's able to let you overcome for the sake of the purpose he has for you. You shared a story once about how when the scholarship to come to Xiamen came, and you didn't have money to even buy a ticket. And for some way, somehow, a man who you didn't even know, a friend of yours recommended you, and all of a sudden you had the ticket, and your phone getting... Man... So can you share that story as well?
Yeah. I finished my first degree in 2012, and I worked as a teaching assistant in the university. So after 1 year of doing a national service to the university, I had the opportunity. They gave me the opportunity to apply to be appointed as a research assistant. And when I did the application, it took more than 1 year. It was not approved. So I was just serving in the department. Nobody was paying me. So I was just doing that, no money.
You were serving in the department, yeah. The department without pay?
Yeah.
Without your feeding, your transportation?
Yeah.
You were just in the company, you were just working without? And I think this is actually a key nugget we, the young ones, can pick. Majority of the time, when we serve, we always expect something in return. Especially when sometimes the best of service you can give and the service that sometimes opens doors for you are services that you might not get anything in return. You feel me? Yeah, so let's continue.
Yeah, so no one was paying me. So the only way I get money was when some student failed their exams and they want to receipt the paper. They contact me and I teach them. And by then, too, I've already passed my professional examination, a chartered accountant examination. So I also organized classes for people who were preparing to write this exam. So that is how I make some money. So, you know, from very early stage in school, I had this feeling that I need to become a teacher. I need to become a teacher. I need to become a professor.
You look like a teacher.
Yeah, so I was having this, when I was in level 300, I started looking for scholarship. Level 400, I started looking for scholarship. I was not having a laptop. I was not having a phone. So what I did was that we have this internet cafe, so I used to go there. Anytime I get some money, go there, buy at a time, and then I search. So fortunately, someone introduced me to Xiamen University, applied for the Chinese government scholarship. I did apply. Even before I applied, I need to pay about, I think, 150 cedis, which is around about $50 or something like that to pay for the application fee. I wasn't having that money. So there was this friend, luckily a friend contacted me that he wanted to take this professional exam so I should teach him. Then I told him that, okay, I need some money to do something. So if he can give me part of the money before we start. And he gave me. So I applied. Fortunately, I was given the scholarship. Amen. Now, it was time for me to come. No money. I told some professors in my department that I got scholarship and I want them to help me to buy the plane ticket to come to China. None of them was willing to help me. I know my parents are farmers and they were not in the position to help. So it was really difficult. So fortunately, a friend of mine came and I shared with him. He wished to help me, but he was not having himself. So he went home and later on, I think a week later, he called me that he was chatting with someone and an issue of that nature came up and he mentioned my name, that there was this guy who got scholarship to come and study in China, but he cannot afford a plane ticket. So is there any way she can help me? The woman said, yes, of course. He should let me come and see her the following day. And I didn't hesitate. I went. The woman asked about me, my background. And I remember that I printed a copy of the scholarship letter to show her. And she was willing to help me pay part of the plane ticket. Another friend also came in, and I was able to buy the plane ticket. So by the time I got to China here, I was having less than $2 on me.
When you got to China, yeah, what you had in your pocket, yeah, was $2.
Yeah.
So how did you?
Yeah. It was just the grace of God. You know, at every stage of my life, God really positioned people to help me. So when I got here, there was this friend from Ghana. He told me, James, I'll help you. So we have to pay some deposits at the accommodation office. He made that payment and he gave me some money to support myself before our allowance started coming. Mm. So I barely go out, I barely buy things. I was just managing what I was having. But in all, the Lord has been good to me.
Amen.
I'm not the worst student in the classroom, and I'm not the most excellent, but I think I'm among the best.
Amen.
In the, amen, classroom. So all this, I could not have been here, or I could not have done it without the Lord helping me.
I think in the line of what he has shared, there's a nugget there that if the Lord sometimes wants to bless you, the Lord sends a person your way. It could be a friend, it could be a relative. How you treat people is very important. I'm going to say that again. When the Lord wants to bless you, sometimes he sends a person your way. It could be a friend, it could be a stranger. How you treat people is very important. They might have the key to your next stage of life. So it's very important to learn how to treat people in the right way. And in that sense, appreciate the people in your life. How many of you are being blessed by the testimonies being shared today? How many of you are being blessed? If you are being blessed by the testimonies today, you don't just have to forget about them. They are online. They are going to be uploaded online. So once you are having your chow fan for lunch, you can take a minute and be listening, and you will surely be blessed. Where would your life have been without Christ?
I don't know. I would still have been in the village by now. Maybe I would have had many children by this time. Yeah. But because looking back, those I began with, I think I'm the only one who is here today.
Mm.
And not that I'm special, not that I'm extraordinary, but just the grace of God that Amen. Is on me.
Amen.
That's why I'm here. Anytime I look at them, I feel so much pity for them. I wish I could help them to come out of where they are right now. And even when they see me, they wanted to treat me in a special way, but I don't feel that way.
Amen.
Because I still connect with them.
Amen.
So without God, I'm not sure I'll be here. You will never know me. I wouldn't have even known Perry, Pastor Perry. And I wouldn't have even known this wonderful family of SICF.
Amen.
So it's just the grace of God.
And talking to James, I see how his heart desire is to help other people as well. When the Lord blesses you, he blesses you to be a blessing. When the Lord blesses you, he blesses you to be a blessing. So even as you are going forward, you are moving on in life, don't have a single lone mindset that I want to get to the top alone. There is space for everybody at the top. And just a straightforward question. How many people have you helped get scholarships in China?
Usually I don't feel comfortable sharing this because the Lord said, don't let even your right hand know of what you have done. So I think as many people
got a lot here because a lot. Of this.
Some people just they just wanted scholarship. And when they were searching for China, they saw my name on Chinese scholarship. So some even contacted me through Facebook that they want to come here, they want scholarship. So how can I help them? And what happens is that there are some guys who made themselves agents. And they will deceive these guys, apply for them, and then and charge them huge sum of money. There was one incident where one guy got admission to come to Xiamen. But the agent who helped him wanted to take $2,500. And if that guy is having $2,500, he could do his master's in Ghana. But he wanted to take that money. So I remember there was this guy through Facebook, and I gave him the procedure. I helped him through. I even shared my studying plan with them to help them write their own. And when he was done and got admission, he was asking me how much he would pay me. And I told him, no. The most important thing is that he got admission and he's coming here to study. That is the most important thing.
Amen. Yeah. So just to reiterate that point again, when the Lord blesses you, the most important thing is to make sure you yourself can also be a blessing to other people. You yourself can be a blessing to other people. How has XICF been a blessing to you? How has James has been serving in XICF for as long as I remember? How has XICF been a blessing to you? And looking at the world, what do you suggest we pray for you and for the world in general?
Yeah, I remember back in Ghana, I always have the desire to serve in the church, but I wasn't having this courage to do that. And most times, so I felt like certain things are for some special people in the church. But when I came to China, Xiamen, and I came to SICF, I had a different feeling that everyone deserved to serve in the church. So I quickly joined the ushering team. And by then it was our sister Cindy from Australia. Yes, she was really nice to me. She was very welcoming. And the kind of reception I got was really so much motivating. So I started to serve with her. Sister Inga took over. She was amazing. Basically, SICF has given me the opportunity to serve or to do what I wanted to do in Ghana, but I was not able to do it. And also, SICF helped increase my faith. Back in Ghana, I don't go to church regularly. Not every Sunday. I don't go to church every Sunday. Sometimes Sundays, I have to go home, go and do something, go and do some work to get some money. But here, almost every Sunday, I'm in church. And look at the wonderful family we belong to. People from different countries, different backgrounds. We are all here together. And I remember when we had our first daughter, Aseye, the support we received from SICF was so much. Our second son, the support was so much. The calling, the gifts, the prayers and all that, I don't think I would have gotten much when I was, if I were to be in Ghana. And SIC has been such a blessing to me and my family. And I always feel happy to be here.
So how, looking at the situation of the world, looking at the situation in SIC, looking at you, how do you want us to pray now?
Yeah, so I want us to pray for everyone. Anyone struggling, just as our brother Robert said, there are people in the church. Most times I have this feeling that we tend to look outside than looking in the church. There are several people in the church who are going through difficult times. There are several people in the church who are having some, I don't know how to, they are having tough times. Some are struggling with emotional problems, psychological problems, and several other ones, and some are not very courageous enough to share their stories. And we can only help them by representing them before God. So I want us to pray for the church, pray for SICF, pray for every member in the church, and pray for the church universal. And then let's also pray for the church leaders. Most church leaders are subjects of persecution in most countries. So I want us to pray for church leaders. I want us to pray for our new pastor. I want us to pray that the Lord will hide him from the eyes of the authorities, that the Lord will help me to succeed in his career or his ministry. And for myself and my family, I want you to pray for us that the Lord will help us to be blessing to other people. Amen.
Okay, let's bow down our heads and let's pray. But before we pray, is there any scripture that has guided you? Before we pray, is there any scripture that has guided you?
Yeah, my favorite scripture is Isaiah 7:7. That says the Lord God, it shall not stand and that shall yet come to pass. I believe this so much. Anything that is not
that
of the Lord.
That saith the Lord.
Yeah, that saith the Lord.
It shall God. Not stand and it shall not come to pass. Yeah. And that is, in context, the evil, the plans of the enemy, they will not stand and they will not come to pass.
Never. And I believe it so much because it is declared by the Lord. Anything where in the Bible, when they say, that says the Lord God, it is God himself saying it. And if you believe it, nothing will happen to you. And you have to declare it to yourself every day. That says the Lord God. Anything that is not of him should not stand and that should really come to pass. And I believe it so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and say a word of prayer. And even as we pray, we want to say that, Father, hear the cries of them who are facing challenges, going through so many persecution, facing so many barriers in life. Send helpers their way. Let grace be released over their lives. If you know anybody that is going through challenging times, emotional stress, financial pain, anybody that is in dire need of help, you want to pray for that person right now. You can mention their names and pray for that person. Father, we thank you for our brother James. We bless you, O Lord, for how far you've brought him. We know that, O Lord, the journey ahead is amazing. We know that the journey ahead is full of love, laughter, and life. Let your name be glorified, O Lord, in this life. We pray for XICF that you continuously make us a place where people can come and thrive, grow in you, love you more, and go deeper in you. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen.
Amen.
A round of applause to our big brother James. A round of applause. I am so encouraged. I'm so encouraged that tonight if I go home, I'm gonna take some chicken to the glory of God to our brother Robert and our brother James. I think it's a good thing to hear the testimonies of people. If you want to share your testimony, if you're encouraged to share your testimony, you can send me a direct mail and I would surely respond favorably to it. So my email address is perry.xicf@outlook.com. I'm going to say that again. P, he's coming to project it in a bit, so you just hear them. And in the line of what James shared with helping people in the church, Are the Angolan students with us? Can you all rise, please? The Angolan students, can you all stand up, please? Can you all stand up, please? So Majority of the students here are on stipend, and in the light of stipend, we receive monthly payments to take care of ourselves. And the Angolans, when was the last time you received your stipend? When was the last time you received your stipend? When? 6 months ago. So there has been an issue with their government, and for 6 months, they've been without Chien. So some of them are working, some of them are doing a whole lot of stuff. And if you are led in your heart to bless them in any way, anonymously, you can talk to me. You can talk to Vera. Vera, wave your hand. You can look behind. That's Vera. Vera, wave your hand. Yeah. That's and or you can talk to Brother Mike. You can talk to Brother Mike. Brother Mike is right here. You waving his hand as well. And we want to say a prayer for them as well. We want to say a prayer for them and pray that, Father, whatever is being a hindrance, whoever is squandering the money, we pray that, oh Lord, straighten the path before them. So let's pray. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Pray that, Father, oh Lord, wherever the money is clogged up, be it in Angola or in the scholarship secretariat, Father, oh Lord, let there be a release for them now. Let there be a release for them now. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Amen. So when we close from church, please don't go. Don't be in a hurry to leave. Just meet Vera on the second floor and let's talk. So take your seat. So once again, I like the point of the sharing which spoke to the essence of Christ. The essence of walking with Christ does not mean that there won't be difficulties, but it means that when difficult times come, the Lord will see you through. I'm going to say that again. The essence of walking with Christ does not mean that there are not going to be difficulties, there are not going to be struggles, but when difficult times come, Christ will see you through. So at this very point, if you realize that your relationship with Christ is not good, you don't know Christ, your prayer life is in shambles, when you start reading the Bible, it now becomes a bedtime story for you. Every time you start reading a chapter, you never go beyond chapter verse 2. As soon as you get to verse 2, by the time you realize you have and you have ripped your Bible apart. So I think let's pray. And we are going to pray for anybody who wants to walk with the Father, who wants to walk with Christ in a deeper way. You might not know Christ as well, but you want to accept him. You have never made the proclamation of him being your salvation. Let's bow down our heads and let's pray. You need the Lord. Pray and tell the Lord, Father, I need you. Father, I need you. Father, I need you. Father, I need you. If you have not accepted the Lord as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the time. If you have not turned away from your sins and you have not repented, this is the time. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for those who are turning their hearts towards you. I pray grace for every single person here, and I pray that, Lord, you continue to sustain them, you continuously keep them, and establish them in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, I prayed. Amen. Brother Stephen and Sister Grace, you may stand up. Brother Stephen and Sister Grace, you may rise up, please. You may rise up. So, Brother Stephen, I'm rhyming. Brother Stephen and Brother Stephen and Sister Grace are in charge of the discipleship team in the church. Brother Stephen is an elder, and he's literally in the front line of discipleship in the church. So, in that light, if you realize you need more studies and understanding of God's word, do not hesitate to contact them. Do not hesitate to contact them. The discipleship courses are amazing. And one thing that is soon is we are going to start, I don't know if they've discussed it yet, we are going to start a Bible study meeting every Sunday morning, which is called teaching classes, just to teach, just to encourage people. Those who have not joined